The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
2017, the literary festival Echoes has been commemorating the legacy of Irish novelist and playwright Maeve Binchy, alongside the best in Irish writing and contemporary writers. The event is taking place in Dalkey, Maeve's hometown, this weekend, and it's hosted by Dalkey Castle and Heritage Centre in collaboration with Maeve's husband, Gordon Snell. The festival has an extensive panel of speakers, including our next guest, Sarah Binchy, who is Maeve's niece, but also producer of RT Radio 1's Sunday Miscellany and producer of the RT Short Story Competition. Sarah, good morning and welcome.
Thank you very much for having us.
Now, growing up with an aunt who is larger than life, I mean, is that how you remember her?
Well, you know, whatever you grow up with is normal. So Maeve was very much part of everyday life. When I was growing up, my brother and I remember Maeve as much being in London, writing to us, Gordon sending children's books to us because he was writing children's books even before Maeve was writing her novels. So, and then they'd swoop home and it would be very exciting. And then gradually through the 1980s, they moved back to Dalkey. Mm. They kind of divided their lives. So more and more, she was part of our lives.
And you've written about her and growing up in her presence, be it an absence presence or a real present presence. And the idea that she treated you from an early age as adults, you know, even though you're only 10 years old.
Yeah. Maeve was a teacher to begin with. And, you know, to a certain degree, once a teacher, always a teacher. She always saw the potential in children. She had a way of zeroing in on things their parents couldn't see, perhaps, speaking honestly, qualities that weren't even present yet. But she made us feel like we had something to offer, that we could advise her. I remember when she was writing Echoes, that great novel, her second novel, she said, you know, like with Light a Penny Candle, I'm starting with the children are 10. I think children become interesting at around the age of 10. What do you think? And we thought, oh, yes, good idea, yes. And we felt she was always guiding us, but we felt it was the other way around.
And she provided employment, and it wasn't just casual kind of do this and you might get a few shillings.
She'd call us in, here's what you're getting per hour, this is what you have to do. My brother remembers because she would have these Saturday afternoon parties. And we might be the only people, the only teenagers there, you know, but she would give us this very good employment. Chris remembers, keep smiling, keep pouring, because we weren't exactly sommelier standard, but nobody seemed to mind.
And the advice she gave you, you know, for life.
Yeah.
Don't write letters, write postcards, because you'll never get round to writing a letter.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. Learn to type, learn to drive.
Yeah.
Did you do all that?
Eventually. I did, to the extent, get up early, I'm still working on that one. But to the extent that I've taken her advice, it has really worked out. Don't agonise, don't dither, don't fuss, don't regret. Now, there's a degree of don't regret that could make you very arrogant. I don't think she's saying don't learn from your mistakes. But pointless repining and, you know, oh, I shouldn't have said that thing. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. You know, oh my God. I mean, she just could not handle that. And I think we all can see the pointlessness of such ruminations. But she maintained a great clarity about that kind of thing. One thing I would add to that advice, I wrote a piece about that and the advice sort of floated out into the world. It was for the Irish Times for a supplement Roisin Ingle was editing. But one thing I would add to it is say thank you, because Maeve was incredibly strong about expressing gratitude as well as other things, encouragement and so on.
Now, in terms of her writing, it turns out that her early writing, it was rubbish and she knew it was rubbish and it didn't get published and she was grateful that it never made it into print.
Yeah, I mean, I heard the clip you played earlier of her where she said that there were times where she sort of got a bit pompous or whatever. I won't say that the early stuff was rubbish. I think she had, you could say, as people starting out often do, great, great good fortune to begin with feature travel articles and so on. Arising from letters home, her parents found her letters home from her summer holidays so brilliant that they actually got the first letter published as an article and she began there. But she did run aground when she was trying to really, you know, expand her freelance work when she wrote about what she thought she should write about as opposed to what she was interested in. She ran into Michael Viney, the journalist, and said, "This isn't really working for me." And he said, "What do you really care about?" And she said, "Oh, that's easy." She was still a teacher at this stage, and she said, "I think we understand the students better than they understand, than their parents understand them." And he said,
Michael
write
himself,
about that.
Eventually he left the Irish Times, went to Lewisburg in County Mayo, and sent columns in on life and nature from Lewisburg. So he eventually got to write exactly what he wanted to write about, the things he was passionate about. So that was the advice he gave to Maeve.
Yeah. Yeah, so well, they both lived by that, and then she was able to do the same.
Another thing that she believed in is living the life that you've been dealt, the hand that fate has handed you. And she was conscious of the fact that she was no supermodel. I mean, she actually said at one point she was a foot taller than Napoleon and twice the weight of Twiggy.
That's right. That's from this piece she wrote. It was originally a script for a BBC programme called The Light of Experience. And she talks about, as a student, how she was trying to fit in, and she had her old school coat, and the thing to have when she was at college, just around the corner in Earlsford Terrace, in the late 50s, early 60s, was a duffel coat. If you had a duffel coat, you were cool. And she was just so self-conscious, and she was reading a book, a novel. She was studying French, and in the novel, a character is just wishing her life away, just wondering what impression she's making. And Maeve said it was like the words were written in fire. She looked up, looked around Stephen's Green, people walking around in their lives. She said, "Nobody's looking at me. Nobody's thinking about me. This is a liberation. I'm gonna do what I want. I'm not going to care about the impression that I'm making." And I think she trained herself from then to do that. And that comes through in her writing too. She's not trying to show, she's not, you know, writing for her professional peers. She's not using jargon. She's not using fancy language to show you how clever she is. Her writing style was absolutely recognisable right from the beginning.
Yeah, but she also made the point that you write, if you can, if you could master the art of doing so, in a way that you'd be talking to a pal. "You'll never guess who I saw on the bus today, da 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 da." And if you can write in that style, you know, recounting your adventures, however trivial they might be.
Exactly.
You
could say, if it's that simple, how come everyone doesn't do it? So a lot of people have to go a long way trying before they get there. But she got there. And I think one core thing is that when she was writing those letters home, you're not putting on any airs. You're writing to the people you love. And I think she always had her reader in mind, could be her listener. It's interesting, she was brilliant on the radio. It was actually her talent as a broadcaster that took her really to the BBC, where she met her husband, Gordon, my uncle, through, you know, freelance appearances. So writing how you talk was so essential to her. And I think it's interesting, I've been looking back at her short stories for this festival. We'll be talking about them on tomorrow. And there's a freshness to the voice. There isn't, you know, some writers you go late style, early style. No, it's there's an absolute through line.
You remarked that you suspected she had an extraordinary talent, that she could talk and listen at the same time.
Well, my brother and I often made that observation because, you know, at family gatherings, you'd be just enjoying listening to Maeve telling some story, and we'd be sitting there, and then she'd sort of change the subject, and she'd talk about something, and she'd have noticed something that was done or said or heard you say something. You're kind of like, hang on, she was talking when that happened. What happened? She's an incredible observer. And that, of course, was the fodder for so much of her journalism. Her column in the Irish Times for years was just what she saw and heard and observed during the week in London or later at home in Dublin.
Yeah. How disciplined a writer was she?
Very. I mean, I don't think overnight, but I think she trained herself.
I remember I went to interview her one day about something or other in her home in Dalkey, and Gordon was there, but he kept out of the way while we were having the interview. And immediately afterwards, I was offered a glass of white wine.
Well, that probably was lunchtime.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, because she got up really early. She and Gordon would get up really early, and they would write side by side in their study. And she'd get a good 5 hours a day at the desk, and then maybe go back after lunch. And you know, deal with correspondence and so on. But no, she was at that desk every morning, and there was no, oh my goodness, I mean, oh, I must wait for the muse to descend. Not a chance. There was never any mystique. It was just, you know,
this is work.
This is work, and do it. And, you know, again, don't overanalyze it. Do it. You know, look at it the next day and kind
of
fix it.
So was she an editor? I mean, did she go back and cut chunks out of her work? Or?
Yeah, but I don't think she got mired in that. I think keeping going was the priority. She also obviously then would work with an editor on it. But, you know, you've got to be realistic. The word count needs to be going up, not down. You know, and she would be very disciplined in that regard.
Now, what would she make, do you think, of a festival in her honour in Dalkey?
Well, I like to think she would be delighted. I mean, she was so fond of Dalkey. And she and Gordon, you know, really wanted to make their lives in Dalkey. I think what is great for us as her family is to see how many writers of a new generation are secret fans of hers or had some encouragement or note from her and really understand that she expanded the horizons of what Irish writers can do.
I'm looking at the lineup, though. It's a stellar lineup. And it looks like the whole thing is going to be packed for the whole weekend. I mean, there are still some tickets available for some of the happenings. Echoes.ie is where you'll find all the details of that. But what would you recommend?
Well, on Saturday, yeah, Friday night, tonight, I think might be sold out. There's adaptations of plays stories into theatre. There's various panels tomorrow. Cecilia Hearn is talking, Idel Coffey, various crime writers, including Andrea Carter. The British ambassador is giving a talk, another secret fan of Maeve. We have Oliver Callan. Jan Carson is going to be talking with me, John Patrick McHugh, Niall McMonagall on the stories. And I do think that if there's people who love Maeve's writing, worth checking out the short stories. They've been recently published again in kind of omnibus editions. You'll also find the old editions online. And there's a great freshness and companionability.
And for people who are interested in short story writing, you are the producer of the RT
Short Story. The old Francis McManus competition, which is going strong. So we're going to be announcing the or broadcasting the shortlist soon. It rolls around every year. It is free to enter. There's a great prize, €5,000, top prize. So I think anyone who's serious about their writing, it should be on their radar.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.